It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs. Every day I'd watch them beauties roll by, and sometimes I'd hang my head and cry, because I always wanted me one that was long and black.
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
On top of the hill in Spanish Fort. Yes.
Yep. Hope everybody had a good week.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, you know, I'm trying to recover. You take one of these long 10-day vacations, what have you, drive 1,800, 2,000 miles, and then your car, when you drive up in the driveway, your car goes,
phew. Yeah.
I'm glad this is over.
Yeah, I can rest for a little while.
And then I roll out. Then I have to roll out in it on a stretcher, you know. But we had a good time.
Yeah, that's always good. Missed
doing the show because we love doing the show.
Yep.
But you know what? If the Donut Man calls tonight, if he calls, I would just about want to bet money on it that he will. Mm-hmm. But I got a question for him.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to see how smart he is.
Okay. Well, let's see. Yeah, well, I think we got a caller already. Caller, are you with us?
You won't believe it. It's the Donut Man.
Oh, that. My Lord.
Imagine. The Donut Man is here.
The Donut Man is in the house.
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
Oh, we all good. How are you?
Well, Tom, you remember where you used to live at, huh?
What did
you finally brought yourself back home.
Yeah, my car, I put it on autopilot. It brought me home.
Well, you know, I used to do that back in the day when I was drinking.
Not the Donut Man. Oh,
no. I get in the passenger seat and let the car drive itself before they made Tesla.
Yeah. But you know, the truth be known, Donut Man.
Yes, sir.
I think my car, on several occasions, did that because I damn sure don't remember getting back.
Yeah. I don't remember how I got home.
Mm-hmm.
At least twice. I said, no, I cannot do this no more.
Uh-huh. In my younger days? Oh, my
yes,
Lord.
Sir.
Yes, thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. Woo.
I think the last time it happened, I was at Shotgun Willie's.
Oh, my God.
Yep, okay.
That's been a few years ago.
That tells the story.
Say, yeah, that kind of times you there.
Yep, tells the story.
Yes, sir. How y'all gentlemen doing?
Oh, we all good.
We all good, yeah, man. We all good, Maurice. How about
what year did they put the first electric fuel pump in a car, and what car company was it?
Electric fuel pump.
Electric fuel pump. What year and what the car company was. Engineer, don't do no damn. I mean,
look at him. He's over there. He's on that phone right
That's
now,
right.
man. He's digging and
I
digging
know
and digging.
He's doing it.
Yeah, he's beating it up, man.
I don't take a wild guess, but probably.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I'm going to say probably Mercedes in the early 60s, say 61, too.
God bless you. 1970 Chevrolet Vega.
What?
Okay. Well, I knew those at it, but I couldn't remember. I figured somebody else would have done it before, but yeah. That because I've actually worked on a Vega not that long ago.
Well, Bob had a racing Vega, didn't he?
Yeah, Bob had one of the. It was a 75 or 76, I think. 75.
I think it's, Robbie got it now.
Yeah, Cosworth.
What
Vega.
Year they start making old Vegas?
1970.
Wow.
1970 was first year for them.
Yeah.
But
they were carbureted or fuel injected or what?
Well, the standard Vega was carbureted, but they used an electric fuel pump for it. The Cosworth Vega was fuel injected.
Okay.
Yeah, it had it had a Bendix fuel injection system on it.
Okay.
And
did they put them in the tank, or where did they put them at?
Well, the electric pumps was in the tank, and actually, they had a lift pump in the tank that pumped it out to a high pressure pump on the fuel rail. So it actually had two on the Cosworth, but the regular Vega had one in the tank. So, but now we're drawing from some old memories on that.
There you go. Yeah, sure. Well, I'm going to get one older than that. Now, you're always stumping us.
Okay.
Where was the factories that Ford built in the South that had Model Ts, where they built Model Ts at?
In Mississippi?
Nope.
Where?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Really?
Well,
me too.
Down there with the submarines.
Well, you know, it was actually you had to go across the St. John's River over to the outer bank thing of that. But he built one there in 1929. They just tore the building down. About a year ago, we were on a cruise on St. John's River, and the guy that we had started talking about is, man, they tore down my Model T building. And I'm going like, what? What's this Model T building? I thought that all come out of Detroit, you know, Dearborn or whatever. But he said, now they, and so I went back and researched it, and they had a Model T factory there, and they actually produced the Model Ts there until... actually used that warehouse, Ford did, to somewhere like 67 or 68, and then it sat empty for all these years, and it got so dilapidated they finally had to tear it down. So,
but instead of them making a museum out of it.
Yeah, it was really, really weird, though, to think that they had that. And now, then I was in the research, I think they had another one somewhere that was out west.
Yeah,
but I don't remember right offhand where it was at. But the Jacksonville hit me because I saw the site there.
Yeah, we good guys for tearing down old buildings. Aren't
we?
We're good at that.
Yeah.
We're good at that. Well, how was your trip, sir? Did you enjoy yourself?
Yes, sir. We had a blast. We actually.
Did you get my call?
Huh?
I called you. Did you get my call?
No, I didn't get a call from you.
Yeah, I did. I called you.
I lost my phone service there for a while. Once we got, we were in Tennessee. I lost it up there.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere around Pigeon Forge or somewhere in there, I lost my phone. But then I picked it back up when I got back over to Asheville, North Carolina. And then I lost it again when I was over at Fernando Beach, Florida.
Well, let me make a suggestion about your cell phone. You need
throw it away.
No, don't throw it away. You just need to stop going to the Dollar Tree and getting them phones.
Oh, no. I'm still paying dollars on this one.
You don't get your phone from the Dollar Tree?
No, I didn't know they had a phone to the Dollar Tree. Or is it? Is it from the guy standing outside selling them?
No, that's the one that's sitting in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, I've got a good phone, and I've got T-Mobile, but there's just some of those places that, especially right in those mountains, that you're going to lose some of your coverage. Hey, that's a couple of buildings in Mobile you lose coverage on.
Really?
It's you go to Judy's restaurant and try to get a phone call out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That happened to me before.
Yeah, it's hard to get a phone call out of that. I think it must have something to do with being a metal building or metal framing and all that they're building it with.
Right.
I'm trying to remember it was a drugstore on that building before she moved there.
No, it was a Mexican restaurant. I don't know what it was before, but if you remember, there used to be a drive-in theater.
Yeah. Well, you know, she moved across the street. She was in that old Wendy's building, then it got too lit for her, so she moved across the street.
Yeah. But prior to that, she was at another building down on just right behind the that shopping center on the hill. They done tore that a big old restaurant down, too.
Mm-hmm.
That lady's still living.
Oh, yeah, she is. She is. I know Miss Judy. She's a nice lady.
She's running a tight ship.
Well, you know, she runs a good country cooking ship.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they have good food and give good service. And the girls, they do a good job.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you giving us a call, big guy.
But I want to tell y'all, I'm getting ready to enjoy this show.
All right, brother man, bring it on.
Talk to y'all guys soon. Take care. Take care of yourself, Mr. Engineer.
Wait a minute. We got to wake him up.
Thank you,
Marcus.
He say thank you.
I will.
Talk to y'all gentlemen later. I'm enjoying it.
All right, buddy. But looks like we got another caller online. But looks like we're fixing to actually take a break. And we will get to our caller as soon as we get back. But thank you for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we'll be back after these messages.
Rolling down Highway 95, sailing through a hometown countryside. Move on over, stay inside my cruise control.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yeah, man. Uh-oh. How y'all doing?
Oh, we're good. How are you?
Look, I got a dilemma. I know I'm always complaining, but let's listen to this. A little 18-year-old boy stole his mama's car, and he just slightly touched my wife's car. A little minor damage to the bumper, but the front light, the headlight. About 3 inches of the lens broken.
Yeah.
So you can't get the lens. You have to buy the whole light, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Would you recommend I try to go to a junkyard and get it?
I mean, I'm okay with that. What year's car?
It's 11, but I called a box store. They said they got it for $259. I thought that was kind of high, but you know.
Well, not for the whole headlight. I don't think that's out of line. You know, it's the problem with the junkyard is you don't never know if you're going to get one that's sealed up tight and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
You know, I would probably go with a new headlight.
Okay.
Problem's going to be is that you put that new headlight in there, what's it going to look like compared to the old one?
Okay. The bulb and everything, fine. Just a crack in the lens, man.
Yeah.
I'll just put some tape over the lens on
it.
Yeah. I mean, you probably could, but I guarantee the moisture's going to get in there one way or another because it's probably cracked on the backside someplace or the seal's broke.
Yeah.
I would probably replace, you know, and that's an option, you know, if you find one in a wrecking yard that is similar to the one you have, it may look a little more appropriate, you know.
Now this the other problem. The other problem is the little joker hit the car, stole his mama car. He ain't got a license, and she's trying about, she just got insurance. I don't want to. She says she got 7 children. I don't want to hurt nobody. I was trying to work with her instead of, you know, taking it to my insurance company because my deductible is $250.
Right.
I had a body guy look at it, say he might could do it for about $500. So maybe if I can get her to give me $200, I won't report it. What you think, man?
Well, you know,
we got to talk about legal now. We're on the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You
okay,
know what I mean? Our personal opinions in that regard would be kind of hard for us to define on the air when we consider the liability of us telling you to go against the law.
Yeah.
Okay, man. I got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mean that we don't agree with what you said, but I can't tell you that's what you need to do.
Right.
Okay, man. Now I stole my mama's car before, but luckily I didn't hit nobody, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm mad at the young man, but I ain't.
Right.
But, you know, we all done stupid things when we were teenagers, so.
Well, you know, one thing that's got to be done is, you know, he needs to understand there's consequences for his actions.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, this may be a good place to start.
You're right.
Because if he gets out of this without much of nothing,
then you're right.
He'll be out there and he'll do worse next. You know, this time, thank God, it was just a busted headlight.
Yeah.
Because he could have hurt somebody.
You're right. All right, then, fella. I appreciate it. I know what to do now.
All right, bud.
All right.
I want to thank you for listening.
Okay, then.
But, you know, it's and I'm not going to say that I never got in the car and drove it before I should have or without insurance.
Yeah.
Luckily, I never, you know, hit anything or got in trouble or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, you take that chance.
Yes, you do. Well, I think that but what they ought to do now with these youth is once they get to be about 10 years old, till they're like 20, they should force them to watch so many hours of that on patrol of the police chasing down these guys that are driving or stolen cars or have the wrong tags or making improper lane changes or doing improper driving conditions.
Yeah.
And then not having driver's license, not having the insurance and all. And then see what happens to them when they do that, you know?
Yeah.
And then and see how long they have to stay in jail and what kind of fines they got and the fact that they now have a record.
Right.
But, see, we don't teach that. We don't have the classes in school that we had 30, 40 years ago, 50 years, 70 years ago when I went to school, you know?
I went through driver's ed in high school, and, you know, they showed you movies and all this kind of stuff. And one I can remember is The Red Highway.
Yeah.
And it was basically just, you know, shot after shot after shot of someone doing something stupid. And there'd be people hurt or dead.
Sure.
In the accident. And it's, you know, they need to understand that there's real world consequences for their actions,
right.
And that they need to, take that seriously, the privilege of driving a car and being on the highway.
Well, you know, and I think that there should be some classes for these youngsters, even in high school, whereby the powers to be could run some scenarios by these people. It's like, if I'm caught driving without my driver's license and I don't have it on me, then what can happen if I'm driving my car and I hadn't paid my insurance, so I don't have any insurance, where am I at with that?
Yeah.
And then all the other factors that are relating to that and how you get a record. And then the next time, this is what your insurance costs if you you have a good driving record and you got a clean driving record, then this is what it's going to cost you if you have an accident.
Right.
Or you get caught. Or a speeding ticket. Or you get caught without your license. Or you going to get caught without any insurance.
If you can get it.
Or drinking and driving or smoking. Mm-hmm. Or you got drinking a beer, open container in the vehicle.
Right.
You know, and they have no exposure to that.
No.
And somewhere else down the road is, and I take the same exception about when they took all the trade schools and shut them down, you know. Where the heck are we supposed to get our mechanics from?
Right.
You know, where are we supposed to get our body men from? Where are we supposed to get our electricians from, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, we have a young man that works for us that's actually going through the GM program now. So he works with us for a while. He goes to Birmingham to work at the GM training center and goes through, you know, basically college courses there.
Really?
And
wasn't aware of that, even myself.
Yeah, they still do. They still do that, and it's a great program. I encourage anyone that wants to do this for a living, you know, to take that course when they get out of high school. Yeah, it's a great program. They teach you quite a bit, and you come out with the majority of your GM training, you know, when you come out.
Really?
And other manufacturers have something similar to it.
Well, how long? Okay, well, how long is this class or whatever it is?
It's basically a two-year program. Yeah.
Okay, so are the people, are they making money during this period of time, or how's that work?
Well, yeah, we pay them. It's kind of a set rate, and we pay them. And,
how many months?
For the time that they're with us,
So then they work, well, I think we're coming up on a break here pretty soon. I might, if you will, enlighten us a little bit on that, if you will, you feel like doing it.
Well,
tonight.
Yeah, and I don't have all the exacts on the program as far as, money or anything along those lines, but or the exact timeline. But it's a very good program for the kids wanting to come up and.
Well, and I think we ought to promote that on the show to the people, and maybe some of our listeners out there, their kids or grandkids, maybe they could be interested in them into getting involved in our industry.
Right. I mean, I took a totally different path coming up through, and I went from my first job was changing tires in a tire store, Trax Tires right over here on Highway 90. And, I worked there the whole, my high school years, and, then branched out after that, after school was out. But
you educated yourself on it.
I went at kind of a different path, but, and that's all good. I don't regret where I went.
Well, that was the way to do stuff then.
Right. Anyway, it sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. Have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us? Hello.
It's about time you guys got back here and quit lollygagging around.
Well, I was wondering where you was at. It's halfway through the hour, and now you're calling. So.
Well, you got Marcus and the other gentleman to come in here, and they got to get on there first. But and guys, y'all kind of got me in a dilemma tonight.
Yeah, what's
that? Because we were talking about the way people drive and doing crazy things on the road.
Like me and you do.
Yeah.
Hey, no, not me. They tell me I'm driving like I'm driving Miss Daisy. I didn't got too old for that stuff.
You too?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we got guys, young gentlemen there and some young ladies that they – pull out of our parking lot at the place that I work, which will remain unmentioned, because they ain't paying me no money to give them no
right. They ain't sending us a check either.
Yeah, 0 to 60 from here to 23rd down the road.
Yep.
Not worried about if somebody gonna back out in front of them.
Oh Lord,
where they're going, or. Tom and Kevin, how many times have you been behind somebody at a red light, the light turns green, and they ain't going nowhere?
Well, because they're reading their phone.
Oh, yeah.
The
light is interfering with their phone break.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. But, we were talking about, and y'all got on this a while ago, with talking about the guys going through school, and it's servicing your car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, changing your oil, your air filter, your wiper blades, belts, hoses,
things
like that. I mean, we used to get out in the weekend, get out under the tree and do all that stuff.
Oh, I've changed motors under the tree. What you talking about?
Well, they didn't call a shade tree mechanics.
I know, you know.
Yep.
Hey, when I was a kid, man, coming along, I can remember Big John, you know, building Cushman Eagle, you know, Cushman motorcycles, you know, on a workbench under a shed we'd build outside there, you know, for years. And you know, but, you know, that's the way we learned. But because, you know, in the 40s and 50s and early 60s, we didn't really have a lot of stuff that we could go to and get trained.
Right.
Well, guys, do you think that it's that people don't want to do it because they're just...
We're too damn lazy.
Want to pay somebody to do it?
I mean,
you go get an oil change, it's $100.
Right.
I can do it myself for $30.
Right, right.
I mean, we used to gap our own plugs, set our timing.
And
even pull rotors off and take them and have them turned down.
You're right.
And most of the daggum parts now, if you go buy a rotor, you can't have it turned because it's built to tolerance. It's a throwaway part.
Right, right. Yeah. Used to, we'd get them, they'd be an inch and a quarter, inch and a half thick, you know? Mm-hmm. And
basically 3/4 inch is the minimum now for a rotor?
Well, and you know, and they're all different, but the most of them are a non-vented single layer. You know, they don't have vented vents in between them or anything. So they're probably, they may be 1/2 to 3/4 inch, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. thick. So you're talking about the most you can take off of it's probably, I won't say 10 thousandths on either side.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
You know there's a very small amount you can take off. So most of them are at most a one cut deal. You know, you can cut them that one time and move on, and the next time you're gonna be putting rotors on it.
So. Y'all still?
Yeah, and if you let your pads get down where your rivets mm-hmm. are showing. It's all over with it.
And it's lockup time then.
Mm-hmm.
But you know the thing about it, these kids nowadays, a lot of them just they've never been taught. They weren't taught like we were taught how to get out there and work on a vehicle. Some of them don't even know how to put gas in a car.
Yeah. You know, heaven forbid they have to change a tire or anything.
Call AAA.
Yeah.
Call Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
call Uncle Jarhead.
Before it gets too late, I want to ask you guys now, what do you think of Dega?
I thought it was a decent race, you know. Me personally, I'm not a huge fan of the big pack racing that they do nowadays on most of the tracks. I mean, it bothers me that they're doing that on all of the tracks now.
Yeah.
The 1/2 mile and 3/4 mile and 1 mile tracks are turned into a Talladega and Daytona. You know, I was okay with it being a, you know, two or three times a year. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it. To me, it doesn't. It takes a lot of the driving skill out of the driver's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do have to be skilled to run in the big pack like that.
We found out that Michael McDowell was not very skilled right there at the end because that little move he made right there at the end cost him 25 spots.
Yeah, mm-mm. Yeah. Well, and that's all about you got to get those guys to go with you, and you can't make them go with you because you pull out, and if they don't want you to go, they'll go around you. Yeah,
right.
And they'll leave you either hung in the middle or hung on the outside and breeze by you, kind of like they did him. And you're going to the back until mm-hmm. you can let everybody get by, and you can catch on the tail end again and come on. Yeah.
Well, the whole thing about that was. McDowell was he led a lot of the race,
mm-hmm.
but he knew Keselowski was going to get him.
Yep.
But instead of taking second, he cut across his nose twice and ended up in I think 26th and wrecked a whole lot of people while he was doing it.
Are you talking about Keselowski?
Well, Keselowski, I think, came in second.
Yeah.
McDowell ended up like 25th, 26th,
okay, 27th. But Keselowski did come in second?
Yeah.
He did come in second, but McDowell went from first. And he could have, if he'd have just let Brad go, he probably could have finished second. But he lost.
A lot of
spots.
Well, you know, he just learned himself a real expensive lesson.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I don't want Keselowski behind me.
Yeah.
Well, it pushing me on the big tracks. I have
witnessed too much.
I have, yeah. I was trying to be nice about it, but I have watched him screw up too much. He doesn't appear to really have the pushing and down pat, because he everybody that he pushes somewhere in a race, he's going to spin them out or get them loose.
Right.
Because he just, I don't know where his reaction time to his brain is not as quick as it should be to let off and get back in it, let off and get back in it. But he's going to lose that pushing point on the nose and that car and the bumper of that car in front of him, and he's going to cause somebody to get hurt.
Tommy actually done pretty good. He pushed McDowell out and got him a good lead.
Well, yeah, but how many times did he break him loose?
He dodged to the outside. McDowell dodged to the outside, and he cut back inside, and McDowell cut across his nose and just barely clipped Brad and put himself into the wall. And Barry ended up, I think it was a joke on Facebook today, that they said they gave him an L4 fine for crossing the finish line upside down.
Yeah.
Who?
Barry.
Josh Barry.
Oh, Josh Barry.
Yeah, he went across, I think, wheels facing the wall.
Oh, Lord, sideways.
Yeah, on his side. And,
looked like some Talladega Night stuff.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. Well, but you know, I'm the world's greatest race fan, but they have lost me in NASCAR now, and I'm like Kevin. I'm just tired of the freight train, all those cars sticking together, and every now and then somebody's going to pass, or they're going to jump out of line and get in line with the one that's coming up side of them and get in front and pass. But the old days are just, you know, just everybody being scattered out around the whole track, and everybody's running, you know, they don't all have the same motors. They don't all have the same identical pieces made at the same factory for the chassis. You know, and there's no more personal, technical, mechanical innovation in the cars.
And it's not NASCAR anymore. It's more like the open wheel racing. I would love to see them go back to taking the cars off the lot and picking them up like they are.
Oh yeah, but
like they used to be. And when one of the guys says, "If you ain't cheating, you ain't winning."
Right. Well, yeah. But you know, but you need to get the guys, the mechanics, and everybody's an engineer now, because all they're going to do is try to make their parts that they bought at the same store that the other 40 cars bought theirs from. They're going to try to do something that can't be seen to get a little bit more horsepower out of them and hope that they don't get caught.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's
just not NASCAR anymore. It's not stock car racing.
It's not stock car racing.
It's all the same cars. Yep. They just looked a little bit
different. They're all matchbox cars, man. Everybody's got the same damn thing.
Well, and they haven't been stock cars for many years, but they're very far away from being a stock car.
Oh yeah, they're not a stock car.
Yeah, it's a purpose built, and it has been, but it's a purpose built race car that really does not resemble anything that Detroit put out. Any point in time. But anyway, we'll talk a little more about it when we come back. We'll let you hear from our sponsors.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great night.
Take care. Go ahead.
Hoorah.
All right.
Hoorah.
I'm looking through my windshield when the sun is coming up. I'm proud to say I drive a truck.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 1065. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. But we were talking a little bit about racing earlier on, and you know, of course, I think everybody who listens to the show knows that I've raced a long time, and still put a car on the racetrack every chance we get. I have someone else driving it nowadays. I've gotten a little too old for all that, but you know, it's I like, you know, as a car owner, fabricator, engine builder,
extraordinaire,
setup guy,
right?
You know, and past driver.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to have to drive this exact same piece with all the exact same stuff that everyone else does.
No,
you know, I feel like if I put the most effort into what I do, I should have a better piece than the next guy. You know, as long as I've got all the pieces there to work with. You know. And that's kind of what we've done for years. You know, I'm not the one that's known for cheating or anything like that, you know, so,
nope.
It's all about what I did with what their rules were.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You did your homework by the rules that they issued that you are entitled to run under.
Right.
And then you push those rules as far as you can.
Well, you push them and, you know, sometimes you may cross the line, but, you know, most of the time it's going to be a mistake. Okay,
yeah.
I meant to go this far, but maybe it went a little further, you know. But, you know, you can't give up. You can't give yourself that huge margin of error because if you do that on 10 things on a car, you know, guess what? You're the guy that's running in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, from day one, I've always been associated with fast cars, winning race cars at the racetrack. And that was, you know.
Well, that's what we did.
That's just what we did.
Yeah, you know, if we couldn't, you know, and I built cars and worked cars, owned cars, and sponsored cars all my life, too, when I was there with the shop. But if I thought I couldn't win, I wasn't ready to go to the track.
Right. Right. Now, I hadn't finished working on it yet.
Right. Yeah, there's other things I could do.
Right.
To make it a little bit faster, you know?
Yep. I mean, there's been times I go to the racetrack, you know, and points racing get you into this.
Right.
Where you knew you probably weren't going to win that weekend, you know, unless some miracle happened. But you'd be halfway competitive. You could go out there and you keep your points going. And
you'd be the top two or three.
Yeah, you could be there for them the next week. But I typically, you know, wouldn't take a car to the racetrack or wouldn't build a car and have it the way I wanted it and take it to the racetrack knowing that it wasn't going to finish in the top 10.
Right. Oh, no. No, I'm not taking it. I'm not taking
any
junk. No.
I don't see the fun.
Well, they know, I'm not taking any junk.
Right.
And if it's something there, you know, the ideas that you and your crew, I'll come up with, then you go out and work extra. You work extra 10 hours on it that week and make it better, make it faster. But, well, you know, with NASCAR now is, I mean, just go to damn NASCAR parts house and buy the parts.
Right.
And you can't run anything else but that.
Yep.
And it's got a serial number on it, and they know where it's at and who's supposed to have it. And you better not modify it.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. I mean, it's even... You know, I always enjoyed the, you know, okay, give me the rules. Let me figure them out.
Yeah, let me work on it.
Let me work inside these rules.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, I need to come up with something that'll work. All right, I'm not going to just sit there and listen to one person tell me, all right, do this, this, and this, and that's what it is.
Right.
Well, okay, I'll take that information and I'll mix it with mine and someone else's. And, you know, there have been times – I can remember one season in the Super Stock. I think I put 7 different camshafts in my car that year.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. I've been there. Yeah. I've done that too.
Yeah. And it made more horsepower sure. every time we tried it.
Sure.
You know, and they were all within
well, as
the
you
rules.
Were innovating in your ideas and putting it into experimental stage,
mm-hmm.
then you could see where you were making improvements.
Right.
And you would know how far you would want to go. So you said, well, I'm going to push that envelope a little bit further, a little
right.
bit further, a little bit further,
right.
and a little bit further. Okay, well, I just went too far.
Yeah.
Now I got to stop there. And I'll look for power somewhere else.
Yeah.
Then you start working in another area.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, to me, that's what stock car racing was.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Coming up with a better mousetrap.
Well, hell yeah. Yes, yeah.
But it looks like we got a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yes, sir. When I called y'all earlier, I forgot to ask y'all, when do y'all recommend to change the electric fuel pump?
When it quits.
Yeah. So, when it quits.
Mileage wise.
I wouldn't really worry about a mileage, to be honest with you. If for some reason I'm in the gas tank for, I don't know, say the fuel sending unit's bad or something, the gauge maybe, or okay, if it got a little debris in it, the pump is still working, but it's got 100,000 miles on it, I would probably put one in it.
I would change it then.
You know, yeah. but if it's still working,
it's
making
300,000 miles on it.
Well, boy, it's still making power, isn't it?
It ain't broke. You don't need to be fixing it.
Yep.
So don't fool with it.
I wouldn't mess with it.
Run it till it wheels get squared and buy some more wheels.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because you can go buy a brand new one,
uh-huh.
and it lasts 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, hell,
I mean, yep. the one you got's working.
I put brand new parts on my car,
right?
And they would be worse than the ones I had on it.
Yep.
So don't even worry about it. If it breaks down,
when it breaks down, fix it. Otherwise, yep. don't worry about that.
I mean, there's times to do preventive maintenance, you know. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about changing fluids and changing spark plugs. Perishable items like belts and.
Yeah.
Changing coolant and thermostats and all this kind of stuff.
Well, I'm a little concerned, because most of my caregivers are female, and
right.
I don't want their car to break down with me and her and whoever.
Right.
Call a cab.
You got a cell phone, don't you?
Call a limo.
Yes, sir.
I know you got a phone. Just
I'm going to call them over here police department and tell them I'm being kidnapped.
There you go.
They're coming, get them. So you're saying really and truly, don't worry about it.
No,
I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah, if you notice something going on with the car, it's not running right or doing something.
Good.
Then have it checked. But otherwise, run it.
And then in regards to electric fuel pump in the gas tank,
yeah.
keep at least a quarter of a tank of fuel or 3/8 of a tank of fuel in it.
Well,
you keep the gas in it because
you don't
need to be letting you get down on
the gas. Won't wet the fill neck, I don't think.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do put Lucas in there every.
That's why you got 300,000 on it too.
Fill up.
Right.
That's
right.
Why you got 300,000 on it, brother. Take care of your car.
Oh, I do that.
All right. Love you. Appreciate your calls. Take care.
All right. Well, I'm gonna hang up. I don't want to talk to y'all no more.
All right. We either. I'm going to the house.
Okay. Love y'all guys.
Love you too, buddy. Right, buddy. Take care.
Talk to y'all later, sir.
Yes, sir.
But there are things that you need to do to maintain your car, and there is some preventive maintenance that needs to be done. But most of that is fluid changes and
sure,
that kind of
it
thing.
Sure, it is. Yeah.
And I'm okay with doing brakes, before they get down to the point they're metal and metal,
right,
Right.
Don't wait.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yep.
Yeah. But sound like it's time for us to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight. And we'll be back next week, and God willing.
Amen. God willing, Creek Dog Ride will be back. And we appreciate all of our veterans and first responders out there. And a big hoorah to all of you.
Got safety too.